I'm going to actually continue our Wednesday night study. And it's a good logical thing because the things that we'll look at tonight are really things that we need to prepare our hearts for to serve next year and to basically say, Lord, am I doing what you want me to do? So we're going to be looking at the end of 1 Thessalonians 5. We'll come to the conclusion of that book tonight. We finished up James. Where we are in Matthew next week is the crucifixion. Because we need to be mindful that Christ came in a manger to live a perfect life, to die on the cross. That was the Father's plan. And we need to look at that. But last Wednesday night, we talked about the call to the expecting. Every one of us should be expecting the rapture of the church.
Amen.
And we will see the second coming of Christ. But if you're here tonight and you know Jesus Christ, you will not go through the tribulation period. We've already talked about that. And the issue is that the coming of Christ should motivate us to action. Dead believers, those who have passed into eternity, are asleep, and they are asleep in Christ. And living believers are awake for Jesus, and we need to be awake because the world is a very dark place. You know, the writer of I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day wrote it at a very bleak time in his life. There's actually a war and a battle going on at that time. And it's so hard to fathom that when Christ comes down to bring peace on earth, and the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill to men, mankind messes it up. We always want to have more. We always want to have somebody else's stuff. And we have wars, and we fight over it because of our pride, and because of our lust, because of our jealousy. That's not what God intended. He intended for peace on earth. He intended for everybody to be reconciled to Him. So, in verse 1 of chapter 5, we need to understand as Christians, we shouldn't be occupied with the times and seasons except as a motivation to be able to witness to somebody. The other night I was talking at supper to Matthew. We were talking about how the ways things are happening right now is to prepare the world to accept an Antichrist. There is a lot of political turmoil. There is a lot of economic turmoil. There is a lot of religious turmoil. And everybody's talking about peace. And Peter says, when there's everybody says peace and safety, what will happen? Sudden travail come on them. And folks, this is a tremendous time to talk about all the signs that Christ is coming back and that you need to be ready for His coming.
Amen.
You know, the day of the Lord will catch the world by surprise. Christ, before He went to the cross, in His last talking to the crowd and talking to His disciples, said, you've got to be ready. He says, I'm going to come. The day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. You know, we have alarm systems and security systems and surveillance systems and other items that will deter a thief. But you never know when a thief comes. You never know when a thief comes, but you need to be what? Ready. This thing is out of the world's control. You know, what we should be doing as Christians is we should be basically witnessing and winning people to Christ. Because one day God will say, that's enough. And then it starts. It's out of the world's control. There's no way. I don't care how many bunkers you build. I don't care how much stockpile of freeze-dried food you have. It's not going to work. You're not going to escape the judgment of God once it starts. The only way to escape the judgment of God is to accept God's judgment of His Son on the cross for you.
Amen.
There is no escape. The church should not be taken by surprise. We are the children of light, and day, not of darkness and night. Romans 13:13 says, "Awake, thou that sleepest." The parable of the 10 virgins, 5 of them were asleep and they weren't prepared. And the coming of Christ should not come as a surprise. We need to be ready. We should be watching.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, we should be watching. Mark says it's all the way through the Bible that we're supposed to watch. Mark, he said, in Mark 13, 36, he says, "Watch. Watch." We should be sober. Okay? Or conscious. Don't be asleep. Don't be drunken. Put on the breastplate of faith and hope. What's that? Faith and love. What does that do? It protects your heart. Because that's what we're supposed to keep. It's an issue of the heart. It drives our being. And then we need to put on the helmet of salvation, the helmet of hope, or the expectation of salvation. Then lastly, the church, Paul is writing this. The reason was is that the Thessalonica church thought that the people who had died were going to miss out. And folks, if they were looking for Christ to come back in their lifetime, we're a whole lot closer now.
Amen.
But unfortunately, I think we're living a lot worse than they were. And the church will not experience the day of the Lord. It's not God's plan. He's not willing that any should suffer, but that all should come to repentance. We're supposed to believe on Him for the remission of sins. If you have cancer, what will you do? You'll go to the doctor. And you'll say, "Doctor, is there any treatment to get rid of this?" Folks, sin is a cancer. And we need to go to Christ and say, "Forgive me these sins and help me walk worthy of Your name." If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A lot of us have that memorized now. We quote it a lot. But it's true. Christ suffered God's judgment for our sins on the cross. In Matthew 27, which we'll talk about next week, from the sixth hour to ninth hour, it was darkness. And Christ, for the first time in His life, couldn't see God, the Father. And then said, "Why did You forsake Me?" But even on the cross, God's love for mankind was so much that He said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, do you show it? So are we living as if we are expecting the return of Jesus Christ? That's the point. You know, we talk about the Lord's Supper. And it is an issue, you know, that people get ready for it and everything else. Folks, we ought to live our lives to be ready every day. That's why I don't announce it. Because we should live our lives to be able to take the Lord's Supper every day. We don't cram for this. We live it. So tonight, we need to look at the commandments for those expecting. In this last passage from 11 to 28, there's actually 22 commands that we're supposed to do. Let's read the passage. We need to understand it's the same thought, that it's arousing hope to action. So in verses 11 through 15, it says, "Wherefore..." So Paul's just gotten through this description of what's going to happen and how the day of the Lord's going to come. And you shouldn't be surprised. The world's going to be surprised. It says, "And wherefore comfort yourselves," what? "Together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." Does this sound like you? If it doesn't, why not? "See that none render evil for evil to any..." Unto what? "Any man. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. See, these are commandments for the church, for the body. We're supposed to comfort ourselves together. And you know how you comfort people? You encourage them. We're supposed to edify one another. You know what we need to do is to encourage them and to build them up. It's all about encouragement, folks. It's all about saying something good instead of saying something critical. We went through that in the book of James. We need to understand those that labor among us and help them. And listen to the message and follow their examples. Paul says, mark them that cause division. But he also said, be ye followers of us as we're followers of God. We need to understand that people who labor for God in the ministry should be esteemed highly. They should be put up on a pedestal and not to be picked apart. Very highly in love for why? For what they are doing. We are all commanded to be peacemakers. We're all commanded to be pure in heart. We're all commanded to suffer persecution. We're all commanded to do that. And we're all commanded to let our light shine. We're all commanded to be His workmanship. And then the issue is, be at peace among yourselves. If you have any issue with somebody, take care of it before it festers. A young woman came by yesterday, and that was her issue. She says, I have this problem with this person. I just can't get over it. And so we talked about what happens if you just keep on harboring resentment. It turns into bitterness. And then you can't live for Christ like you should. And we prayed that she would forgive. And then she said, I needed that. I'm going to take care of that. Folks, we need to be at peace among ourselves. And at the same time, in order to keep the peace, we need to warn them that aren't making peace, that are out of line. It's not that we're all cookie cutter Christians, but we all should be following the same word and doing His will and having unity. Comfort the feeble-minded. Those that don't understand, we need to help them. That's called discipleship and mentoring. When's the last time you talked to somebody about a spiritual thing? We talk about everything else, but do we talk about God? Support the weak. Those that can't do things on their own, they need help. That's what James said is true faith. So that you have a brother that has need, you say, warm and be filled. He says, what does that do for them? You need to step in and help them. And here's something that's really easy to do. Be patient towards all men. You know, there is at least one person in every one of our lives that just rubs us the wrong way. There may be more than one. Maybe your spouse, shame on you. Okay? But you know, those are opportunities, as we learned in the book of James, to what? To either get closer to God or to get further away. Think of Jesus. Think of His disciples. They're walking with God in the flesh, and they keep on messing up. And we would go, what? Really? I got to tell you again the same thing I told you before? Really? Really? We need to be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto what? Any man. God will avenge. What are we supposed to do? And as much as in you, live peaceably with all men. For him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. Love your enemies. Do good to them that persecute you. Whoa! You know, we've covered all this stuff. And I think it's interesting that we cover all this stuff. And now it's kind of climbing to a climatic ending. And then we need to trust the spirits to see if they are of God. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to who? All men. That's a pretty good list. How are we doing so far? That's be a great New Year's resolution thing. But then there's commandments for us. In verses 16 through 22, it says, oh, and these are short ones. Hey, you want to memorize some scripture, kids? Memorize these. Some of them are only just two words. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks for why? Hey, if you don't do that, you're out of God's will. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What? Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophecy. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Doesn't matter. You can't sit here and dissect them. They make sense by themselves. So, rejoice evermore means what? All the time, right? Got that one? Let's look at the next one. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? We need to be in an attitude of prayer all the time. All the time. I've been talking to some people on the phone. And the issue is, I've preached this, is that everything that comes in our life is an opportunity to serve God. We need to look through the world's, through God's lens, through a Christian worldview, and look at this thing and see that all these things are tested to draw us closer to God. And he says, I see that. Do we see it? Do we see it? In everything, give thanks. And we know all things work together what? For good to them who are the called according to his purpose. Quench not the spirit. Okay. How many of us have at one time had someone come up and be so excited about something, and then you just say something, it just takes all the air out of the room? Folks, that happens in churches today. Get ready for services, and then someone walks in and they just kill everything. That's quenching the spirit in the body. But folks, there's times that we just quench the spirit. We just put a wet blanket over things that God wants to have a fire in our lives on. We're not supposed to quench the spirit. And you know what? When you quench the spirit, you don't want to listen to God's word. Because the next one is despise not prophecy. You know what despise means? To hate. To say it's not for me. It's for someone else. Despise not prophecy. And you know how a Christian is supposed to live? By proving all things. What does proving all things? Showing that you can do God's will in everything that you do. Hold fast that which is good. You know why ships use anchors? So they don't drift in the sea. You know what an anchor has to hold on? Rock. You drop an anchor, unless it's really a really big anchor. If it just hits the dirt, it's going to slide across the dirt. Folks, we need to have an anchor in Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. I waited patiently for the Lord. He heard my cry. He set my feet upon a what? He brought me up out of the miry pit, out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a what? Rock. We need to stand on the rock of Christ and hold fast those things of good. And now, abstain from all appearance of evil. No matter if it's not evil in the world's eyes. I think the greatest example of this is this new Heineken beer that's being advertised on the TV. Zero alcohol. You know what? It looks like beer. Probably tastes like beer. Well, it won't get you drunk, so it's okay. No, it's not. It looks like it. And all it's trying to do is try to get you a little bit closer to the world. If it looks wrong, don't do it. If you have doubts about it, don't do it. Don't do it. If it looks like the world, that should be the last thing we should look like. Because you know what the will of God is? The will of God for your life is to be conformed to His image. And if you're not working on being conformed to His image, you're out of God's will. What? Pray with, in everything, give thanks. That's the will of God. If I don't give thanks for everything, I'm out of God's will. Yep. Not working to be conformed to His image, not trying to be better every day, more like Him every day. That's God's will. Yep. And if you're not doing it, you're not working on it, you're out of God's will. Sorry. That's the way it is. I'm not sorry. That's God's word. I feel sad that people don't want to see this. Do we all fall short? Absolutely. But can we be better? Absolutely. And you know the difference? The difference is how much of the power of God you allow to work in you. Go read Ephesians chapter 3. So we need to abstain from all appearance of evil. So there's commands for the church. There's commands for us here. And the reason we get results. In verses 23 through 28, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you." You want to be sanctified? You want to be set apart? Do all that in your individual lives. And then we go back a couple of slides. Do all that in the church. "And the very God of peace sanctify you," what? Holy. Now, remember back in math, how many holes can you have? One. There's only one hole. That's everything. And if it's not all of it, then it's not the whole. So Christian, if you're holding back in some area of life, say, "I'm not going to give God that. I'm not going to give Him control of that part of life." You're out of God's will too. Sorry. That's what God says. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." And Paul says, "I pray your whole..." He's got this whole issue about whole here, doesn't he? Whole. And then just to make a sense, just understand what whole means. It's all of your spirit and all of your soul and all of your body. That means it's what? All. Be preserved what? Blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what God's will is for the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, that He can present it as a glorious church without having what? Spot or wrinkle or any, without having any of that stuff. You know why? "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." Who also will do it? The issue here is, It's God's already done it. We just have to have faith. And then he goes and gives three more commands. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We need to be sanctified by God, holy. Every part of it. And it can only be based on Him. You can't clean up your life. You have to have God clean you by the water, by the washing of water, by the Word. We're regenerated by the Word. We're made whole by the Word. We're made holy by the Word. It needs to be shared with others in prayer, in greeting, and in word. And then, if we do that, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with you. I just can't see God working in my life. What are you doing to allow Him to work in your life? Are you quenching the Spirit? Are you despising the prophecies? Are you not praying? Are you not rejoicing? What's wrong? Because that's the will of God. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also what? God can't fix my problem. Then you don't have a very big God. God can fix all problems. Amen. He will supply all your need according to His riches and glory. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You get it? Folks, that's what God expects out of us. And that's what we need to do. Today, tomorrow, next week, and next year. So let's consider our lives tonight. Before we take the Lord's Supper, there's a caution. It says that if you take it unworthily, many are sick and many sleep. And we know what sleep means in the Bible. It means they're dead. So if there's anything in your life that needs to get fixed tonight, fix it now. I'm just going to have Steve and Joseph come up and play. Play the invitation song. I'd like us to bow our heads and think on the things that we've heard tonight and see if we're obeying all of God's commands. And see if there's any wicked way in me, like David said, and cleanse me from that. As we prepare for our Lord's Supper.